I know it's cold, but come on, we're all here, right? Good morning. Thank you. Yay. Welcome to worship at Spanish Fort United Methodist Church on this beautiful Lord's Day. What a beautiful day outside, and thank you for braving the cold for us weather and coming to church. As we now turn our thoughts toward worship and lean into worship and tune our hearts, we're going to read responsively Psalm 40. So if you would please get your hymnal out. I don't think this will be on the slide. You're going to have to do it old school. Get your hymnal out and turn to page 774. You will read the bold part, so please don't stay in your lane. Don't read my part. You read your part. So let's together proclaim this Psalm of David. I waited patiently for the Lord, who inclined to me and heard my cry. The Lord drew me up from the desolate pit, out of my miry bog, set upon my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. The Lord put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and be in awe and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed are those who make the Lord their trust, who do not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after false gods. O Lord my God, you have multiplied your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare with you. Were I to proclaim and tell of them, they would be more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering you do not desire, but you have given me an open ear. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, lo, I come. In the roll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. Lo, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord. I have not hid your saving help within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and faithfulness from the great congregation. O Lord, do not withhold your mercy from me. Let your steadfast love and faithfulness ever preserve me. Thank you.
Please stand as we sing our opening hymn.
together to affirm our faith in what it is that we believe. Church, what is it that we believe? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Yes, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear, not some, but all. We thank you, Lord, as our Savior, as our friend, that we can, in these moments and at all times, even as your word declares that we can pray even without ceasing. Thank you, Lord, for these moments, especially as the called people of God, as we worship together, as we worship you, even in our prayers today. And we raise before you our praise and our thanks, knowing you, yes, as our Savior, as our friend, who does bear our sins and our burdens. Thankful that we can cast our cares upon you, for we know that you care for us. Lord, we praise you for your sovereign power and work of grace in our lives and through your church. We thank you, Lord, today for your presence for those who have been victimized by the latest storms in our area. We pray for those regions and the losses that they have incurred. And Lord, help us in ways that we can, as that call comes, to give assistance where that is needed. We praise you, Lord, and give you thanks for the Revive Camp for the youth this weekend and pray for their safe return. Thank you, Lord, for the experiences that they have had, and some of them even life-changing experiences. We give you praise and ask for your safe return for our youth today. We pray, Lord, for those who are sick and infirmed, those hospitalized, those in places of rehabilitation. We pray that you would visit into those rooms, be that very present help in the time of need that is there. And Lord, we ask for your mercies and your wisdom and your direction for the events that are coming forward in the life of our church. Especially, God, we pray for our preschool. Lord, we pray for the upcoming retreat for our men and for Dr. Oswald as he comes to share and even as he will speak next week. Prepare our hearts for those events, Lord. Be with us today, God, as the spoken word comes to us through Pastor Kitsy. We pray the anointing and empowerment of your Spirit upon the words that are spoken here and upon us in our hearing. Truly, Lord, may we exalt you, may we lift you up today, and may all of our hearts be drawn closer to you, Lord, closer to each other as the people of God. Lord, hear all of our prayers today as we offer them in faith. We offer them in the name of Jesus, and we offer them in unity of purpose and heart. And let us pray together now the prayer that the Lord Jesus has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I want to invite the children to come forward in these moments for the children's moments with Miss Mandy. Thank you, Mandy, for being here today. Kelly is helping with the youth as they're coming back from camp today.
Hello, hello. Yes, we are running up. We are so excited. All right, so I have some notes here that Miss Kelly gave me. She says that she will miss y'all. She is helping those youth get back to us. So I have a question. How many of you either have a bike or have ridden a bike? Anybody? I have. You have a bike and you've ridden it. Excellent. Okay, so sometimes when we're riding our bike, we need some protective equipment, right? So you need a helmet, elbow and knee pads. Ellie, you're right. And I know that some of you may not follow this rule. Yes, shoes, knee pads, yes. Yes, see, if you don't have tennis shoes on, you rip your toenail. That's right. And that is painful. So we need to have tennis shoes. So I was thinking about it. And, you know, we have that protective equipment when we ride our bike, but the Bible also tells us that we need some protective gear when we go out in life. And the Bible calls that the armor of God. So the first thing the Bible says to get is a belt of truth. Now, the belt of truth tells us that Satan will never win if we hold on to the truth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Okay? Our second thing is a breastplate of righteousness so that we will never be harmed when we choose to do what God says is right. Okay? Now, this is a modernized picture of the shoes that they wore in the Bible. But it says also that our feet need to be fitted with the gospel of peace to help us not worry, because knowing and trusting Jesus brings us peace. Not kids. Kids don't need this. A lot of adults need this too, huh? Because sometimes adults worry. All right, I think this might be my favorite picture that I found. A shield of faith. So seeds of doubt can never take root if we have faith in Jesus. So see, these seeds of doubt are coming in, and he's saying, I don't think so. I have God on my side because I have faith. And we need a helmet of salvation. Jesus came from heaven to earth to save us from evil. And if we accept salvation in Jesus' name, we will win the battle. All right, and the last thing, it says that we need the sword of the Spirit. And the sword of the Spirit is really our Bible. See how the sword is coming up out of the Bible? It's a very powerful weapon. So, just like you should never get on your bike without your protective gear, your helmet, your shoes, your knee pads, and your elbow pads, we should never go through life without the armor of God. Okay? So now let's pray before we go to Children's Church. Ready? Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us the protection that we need to walk safely through our daily life. Lord, help us to make sure that we put on the full armor of God that you have provided. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's go.
Let's prepare our hearts to worship the Lord through our gifts and our tithes and our offerings as the ushers come. Let us prepare now as we go to God and ask for his blessing upon these gifts today. Let us pray. Lord, we pray now your blessing upon the gifts, the tithes, and the offerings that are given today. We pray your Holy Spirit may inspire our hearts as we give freely and abundantly, as you have given to us. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless and use these gifts for your purpose through your church, our community, and in our world, Lord. We pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Pilgrim journey, Savior,
ask that we please remain standing for the reading of God from Psalm 41 through 11 as we listen to God's word. I waited patiently and expectantly for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of a horrible pit of tumult and of destruction, out of the miry clay. And he set my feet upon a rock, steadying my footsteps and establishing my path. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear with great reverence and will trust confidently in the Lord. Blessed, fortunate, prosperous, and favored by God is the man who makes the Lord his trust and does not regard the proud nor those who lapse into lies. Many, O Lord my God, are the wonderful works which you have done and your thoughts toward us. There is none to compare with you. If I would declare and speak of your wonders, they would be too many to count. Sacrifice and meal offering you do not desire, nor do you delight in them. You have opened my ears and given me the capacity to hear and obey your word. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you do not require. Then I said, behold, I come to the throne, and the scroll of the book, it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I have proclaimed good news of righteousness and the joy that comes from obedience to you in the great assembly. Behold, I will not restrain my lips from proclaiming your righteousness, as you know, Lord, O Lord. I have not concealed your righteousness within my heart. I have proclaimed your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great assembly. Do not withhold your compassion and tender mercy from me, O God. Your loving kindness and your truth will continually preserve me. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Amen. Powerful words on this morning, right? But it's so good to see all of you on this beautiful, blessed day that the Lord has made. I am thankful and honored that God has worked through us continuously to be able to come together this week, and what he has shown in this psalm, which is quite important to all of us, and we are familiar with it in some way. That's why I titled my sermon, From the Pit to the Solid Rock. I think that's one that we all can relate to, right? We just do this, right? Amen. Amen. So to start out the sermon this week and what I have been studying and what I've been praying about in this morning, it took me all the way back to 1987. That doesn't seem all the way back, right? But it took me all the way back to 1987. And in 1987, the world watched in deep prayer to God Almighty for a miracle as we witnessed God's mighty hand rescue Jessica McClure Morales, better known as Baby Jessica. As she had fallen into a well in her aunt's backyard in Midland, Texas, she was only 18 months old. Rescuers brought in heavy drilling equipment and carefully dug another shaft parallel to the pipe where Jessica was stuck, and we got to watch all 58 hours of this on our news station. We watched with intense moments of prayer for those 58 hours, and there were moments when baby Jessica wailed from the pit to let us know she was still alive. And then there were moments of silence where we feared that baby Jessica was not going to make it. Finally, on the night of October 16th, 1987, baby Jessica was safely pulled from the well, and America labeled the headlines, "The Powerful Prayers of an Entire Country from the Pit of Despair." Jessica suffered a cut to her head and later had to have her toe amputated because of infection, but she was deemed a miracle baby, and America witnessed God's saving grace, and there is the image that we all were familiar with in 1987 of October. I use baby Jessica as an example because as I read David's psalm this week and as I've meditated on David's psalm as part of my own spiritual growth and walk, it reminds me of those days when life seems to be going okay for the most part.
We are outside playing in the backyard, in the front yard, in the yard of life, and we're growing in our spiritual faith. We're making good decisions. We're glowing in the goodness of God. We paid our tithes, and all is right in our little bubble. But suddenly, an unexpected stumble throws us into a deep pit where we try to scratch our way out, we try to pray our way out, we try to bargain our way out, and we angrily try to tear our way out. Has anyone else been in that pit before? Yes. The thing about our Christian journey and the pit is that as Christians, it is not if we will ever stumble and fall into a pit, but it is when and how often we must be prepared to fall into the pit. Because if we're on this Christian journey, we're gonna fall into the pit. If we are going to persevere with Christ, you must expect that there will be times throughout your life when you are in the pit. And the only rescue that you can call upon is not yourself. It ain't your neighbor. It's not your social media likes in your community. It's not your spouse or your children either. It's not your mother or your father. It's a but God. And Mandy reminded us how to be prepared and how to wear our armor in life for those moments that we do fall into the pit. Psalm 40 is a song calling out to God from the pit. And as David walks us through his testimony of God's deliverance, he begins his song with praise and reverence for God. Despite his glaring flaws, David was a man after God's own heart, as we know, and he was far from perfect, but his faith and zeal made him stand out as truly God's vessel. God used David greatly, but even as a man after God's own heart, David's faith and zeal were not protections against his pit experiences in life. David learned how to praise God while he was in the pit, and that is what made the difference. You will notice that David doesn't begin this song with complaints, but by stating that I waited patiently and expectantly while I was in the miry dirt of my pit. Bold. We don't usually say that when we're in the pit. I don't know about you, but I usually say, God, why? God, again? And sometimes I've been bold enough to say, God, you got a lot of nerve because we did this last week. You know? But in the Amplified Bible, this pit that David talks about is made of tumult and destruction. Those are its ingredients. But yet and still, David is praising God in the midst of all the mess that is surrounding him, like miry clay that has cemented him in, and he is breaking loose from all of that to still proclaim God's goodness. And you and I know that's hard to do when we are in the pit of tumult and destruction. Instead of spewing a couple of choice words about being in this pit, David has the blessed audacity to say, many, O Lord my God, are the wonderful works which you have done and your thoughts toward us. There is none to compare to you. I don't care where I am in the pit, there is none to compare to you. If I would declare and speak of your wonders, they would be too many to count. Can you believe that this is not the first time that David has been in the pit? He has become familiar with the pits of life because he knows the power of his God will sustain him as God's servant. In understanding today's text, I challenge you to think about the pit that you are currently in, or the pits that God has had to rescue you from, or how many times you have stumbled upon the pit experiences of your faith journey. And from those of us who need a definition of what a pit exactly is, here it is. Our pit is anything we identify as a modality of suffering, loss, denial, grief, turmoil, isolation, depression, stagnation, or separation from God. We all have a pit. What is your pit that God has had to pull you out of time and time again? I will give you a moment to think about your pit because it will be important traveling gear as we navigate the lessons from David's pit to our own pit to the rock of Christ's salvation. If you truly thought about your own pit, then in this brief moment of silence, you may not have gotten through all of those moments, but this moment was enough for you to remember what your pit was and to simply whisper, "Thank you, Jesus. You are wonderful. Because of your love and your grace and your mercy and your saving power, I would not be here today. So I thank you for sitting with me in the pit, in the low places, and in the high places. It's a good God we serve, right? We have to take more moments like that, because God is good." It is easy to look at this psalm the way we look at life. It's easy to give God praise when life is rainbows and popsicles, as my grandmother used to say. But when life presents trials that are beyond our control, beyond our understanding, beyond our patience, and even beyond our love, then we begin to seek the devices and answers on our own, because whether or not we know it, we limit God. We don't limit God when his blessings are overflowing. We do like this when the blessings are overflowing. But we do limit God when the diagnosis is grim, when the baby is buried without an explanation in life, when the innocent are found guilty of a heinous crime, when the guilty are set free without remorse, when the burglar took everything that we worked hard for, when the accident of the young teenagers doesn't make sense because they were just here, they were just in school, when the money was there yesterday and today home is a YMCA shelter, when the pregnancy test says negative but God promised you a child, when an unexpected tornado devastates a city that was just standing yesterday in success, when the divorce is nasty but the love was strong a year ago, when it hurts today but you were rejoicing a few hours ago. It is hard to hear those realities for many in our world today, and to know that the answer the psalmist advises is to wait intently on the Lord and proclaim his goodness when he answers. This psalm is dealing with two sections and two pits, if you get the opportunity to read the entire psalm. But today we read and we're preaching from the first pit that David finds himself in. He does not specify what the trials of his first pit are, but he expounds upon the praise of God for rescuing him from this pit. And if you read further into this psalm, David speaks of a second pit that is based on the consequences of his sins and emotional distress. What we learn from this psalm is that sometimes God places us in the pit to lean upon him for his understanding and rescue. And other times, we put ourselves in the pit due to our behavior to ostracize God from our own sins. The pit is not to glorify ourselves. It's not a me, 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 or a woe is me, or how did I get here? But the pit is to glorify God's ability to move every mountain that blocks our ability to move from the pit to the solid rock upon which Christ stands. Today's objective in the sermon that I hope and pray that I'll be able to relay to you is to move you from the pit to the solid rock of Christ's victory. And if you're already standing on that rock, hallelujah and glory to God. But it's a lot of us that are still scratching our way through the pit, and instead of climbing up, there's dirt that is subdued up under our fingernails and we can't seem to get out. And if we study Psalm 40, we come to see it as a plan for getting out of the pit through the glory of God. Here is what the plan entails in the scripture. So here is our survival guide to navigate from the pit to the solid rock of Christ. Our first survival point: wait intently. Now, waiting is a hard, hard word. It's one I struggle with every moment of the day. I do not like to wait. Oftentimes in my prayer, it's, "God, speak quickly before I do." But waiting is a hard word because it's an action word. To wait on something means that we trust God's will while knowing that God's timing is not our timing. There is not a finish date, a finish line, or a completion time for how long we will be in a pit, but we wait by intently praising God while in the pit. There is work to be done in the pit. There's no time for crying, whining, complaining, and questioning. Instead, the psalmist reminds us that we are to bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits while we are in the pit. Survival point number two. Abandon all worldly opinions if you want to get out of this pit. We are in a pit, and when we are in a pit, we are often tempted to compromise our faith to escape the consequences and lessons of the pit. And this is where our pride comes in, our ego comes in. I got this. But sometimes God just wants us to lean on his everlasting arms. Our pride can become stronger than our God sometimes, and we turn to the wrong things for answers. We begin trusting in our own lies and the lies of others and not in the Lord. And God asks us to rest in his will and way, and God asks us to wait for the Lord and keep his way. And he will exalt you to inherit the land. And when the wicked are cut off, you will see it. Last night I was trying to de-stress, and I was watching, I didn't realize I had a subscription to, I call it the Christian Netflix. I think it has a name, PureFlix. It has a name. And I said, oh, I have this. And I was watching a Christian TV series, and I was sitting there with my popcorn and my little Coca-Cola, and I'm trying to de-stress, and out of nowhere came a commercial. Are you in the pit of life? Are you looking for answers? Are you calling everybody to look for answers? Call 1-800-CALIFORNIA-PSYCHICS and we guarantee to have the answer for $10.99 a minute. I said, wow. Wow. And I guarantee you of the millions of people that give that business the ump that it has to have that kind of commercial several times throughout a TV show, it's still a lot of people that are in doubt, and there's still a lot of people that are in the pit, because there are answers that only God can provide. And our knowledge will never be God's knowledge. When you are in the pit, there ain't nothing a psychic can do for you while you're down there. It's only crying out to the Lord, our God, your God, my God, to pull you up out of the pit of miry clay. So that takes us to survival point number three. The pit is about deliverance. Sometimes we are in our pit because God wants to conversate with us. Sometimes God misses us. God wants to maintain relationship with us and hear our voice cry out to him and him only. Often God wants us to repent. And other times we are in the pit to claim our salvation for eternal life. My question is, who do you cry out to when you are in the pit? God wants us to cry out to him just as David did in verses 13 and 17. Help, Lord. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. Make haste, O Lord, to help me. Since I am afflicted and needy, let the Lord be mindful of me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. Survival point number four, providential care. Waiting on the Lord means having the expectant hope that we have seen God work multiple miracles in our lives when we have been in the pit. This pit we find ourselves in is no different from previous times. And our hope and wisdom are that God has delivered us before and he will surely do it again. Jesus is on the main line. And there is nothing too small or impossible for our God because of his providential care. We know that no matter how grim the pit is or how dirty the pit looks, we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And I know how offensive the scripture sounds in the midst of pain and the depths of the pit. But God sustains us in the pit. That does not mean that it feels good to be in the pit. I'm not saying that at all. This does not mean that it is easy to praise in the pit. I'm not saying that at all. I've had plenty pity parties in the pit. This does not mean that it is easy to trust God while in the pit. I'm not saying that at all. There have been times I've walked away from God and thought I was hurting him and thought I was out of the pit, only to find that I'm still in the pit, and the only person I'm hurting is myself. This means that we come to acknowledge that our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. It means that when we have tried everything else and it has failed, to try the unlimited supply of grace and mercy that Christ offers us. This means when no one else is available to answer that call and give you the answer in the middle of the life because in the night because life gets in the way. This means that we call upon the toll-free number of Christ our Lord, and he will always answer and come right on time. This means that when you have done the best you can with your limited resources and your ego, that you simply stand in the presence of God so that his loving arms can catch you when you fall. This means that when you are beating at the air with angry fists, God fights with you and holds you through the grief because he is more than enough. Survival point number five, obeying God in and out of season. It is hard to obey God in the wilderness, but what did Jesus do when he was in the wilderness? He prayed, he rebuked, he fasted, and he prayed. Sometimes we fall into the pit of disobedience, and we must be mindful of those stumbles on our faith journey because they compromise our salvation, and as we all know, it's never worth it. Lot's wife is an example of that. She had the opportunity to escape her pit, and the angels of the Lord even pulled her family away from destruction to carry them to safer grounds, but they were instructed not to look back at the pit because there was nothing back there. God was taking them forward, not backward. There isn't anything there once God delivers you from the pit, so why would you want to look back and why would you want to go back? Lot's wife thought she was missing something in life, like we all do. But I'm missing something. I gotta look back one last time. She looked away from God and looked into the devastating eyes of destruction and turned into a pillar of salt. Ananias and Sapphira, a husband and wife, selfishly held back property and money that was to be to the glory of God, and then lied to God and the Holy Spirit when confronted for their sins. And Peter asked them, "How could you conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord?" And they both died instantly in the pit of deceit. And then we have our story of Adam and Eve. Eve listened to the deception of the serpent instead of the instruction of God, and Adam listened to the words of Eve instead of taking the matter to God for discernment. They both ate from the tree of life and were cursed and banished from the Garden of Eden. I use these examples not just because they're Bible stories, but because they're examples to demonstrate the importance of obeying God while in the pit. But praise God for the forgiveness that he offers in the new covenant also, to remind us that our pit experiences are about proclaiming the goodness of God and not proclaiming anything that we have done. We do nothing without God. You did not open your eyes this morning. That was a God miracle. You did not drive yourself to church this morning. That was the Holy Spirit sitting in the passenger seat protecting you that got you here this morning. You did not pay your bills on your own this month. That was God's provision covering you in a hard economic season. Have you purchased a carton of eggs lately? Because more than 50% of people cannot. When we are in the pit, we find rescue by praising God, relying on God, trusting God, obeying God, and acknowledging that it is not by my hand, but by the will of my master God that I stand up on the solid rock of Christ. As I come to my conclusion this morning, I thought about, in my closing, how do I close? And I think about the observance that we're in of Martin Luther King Jr., and I thought about, there are many autobiographies written about the great Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And a local Alabama historian wrote a book sold at a gas station I stopped at years ago on my way to Selma. And in the book, he shared his accounts of interviewing Dr. King upon his visit there to Selma to help end segregation in the South. And in the book, he asked Dr. King, "Why do you allow God to keep putting you in the Job pit? Why don't you give up and accept that this is the South and nothing has to change?" And according to the words of the local historian, Dr. King responded to him in this way, "Because I've been to the pit of hell, and God has sat with me in the throes of despair. I've seen the darkness and heard his voice of terror, and I've seen the light and found God's hand of rescue. I know that if God can pull me from the pit to the mountaintop, then he can do it for the world. I'm not standing on the fear of a nation. I'm standing on the solid rock of Christ where I stand. All other ground may be sinking sand, but I've made it to the rock because I won't stop praising God for the freedom he has shown me for the world. One thing we all have in common, God has pulled us from the pit of what we don't even know about to stand up on the rock. And the rock that we stand up on, we can do ministry together because there were others before us that fell into the pit fighting for unity and harmony. And today, because of that fight and that pit and the freedom of standing on the rock of Christ, you and I get to do ministry together in unity and harmony. And if that's not a praise to give God for the mighty work that he does, I don't know what is. We serve a good God. And in the pit of despair, we can praise him to the mountaintop and to the rock upon which Christ stands. I am honored to do the work of God with each and every last one of you. And I'm thankful for those that fought for the opportunity for us to do it together. Friends, when the earth all around us is sinking sand, may we go to the solid rock on which Christ stands. And may the Lord continually be magnified in the pit so that when we get to the rock, we can proclaim that God is good, God is present, God is merciful, and God is our rescuer. Praise be unto God. Can I get an amen this morning? Amen. Amen. Let us go to God in prayer. God, you are good. You are good. We praise your holy name. And we trust you to rescue us from pits we've been pushed into, fallen into, and those we've jumped into. Father, rescue us from the pits of self-pity and vain regrets. You have forgiven our past, and there's no need to beat ourselves up with what-ifs and if-onlys. Rescue us from the pits of unforgiveness and bitterness. Perhaps those are the most daily and deadliest of pits. You can be trusted with our pain and with putting things right in your time and in your way. Father, thank you for hearing our SOS. Amen.
Please stand as we sing.
I see the storm.
Amen, amen. What a wonderful word this morning. Hope your hearts were encouraged and inspired. Wherever you are in your journey, as we move from the pit to the solid rock, I pray we're all on the solid rock of Christ today. And as we, before we go, just a couple of announcements. Most of those are in your bulletin. I want to encourage the men of the church. Next weekend is our retreat, and Dr. John Oswalt is going to be sharing with the men and the retreat, and also will be preaching here at 8:45 and 11 next Sunday. You won't want to miss Dr. John Oswalt, one of the foremost scholars of the Old Testament, particularly on the book of Isaiah, and a very great speaker. So we look forward to having John Oswalt with us. If you're not signed up for that, please call the church office, see myself or Ken Cole as well. We'll be glad to help the men of our church get involved in that next weekend. And also Wednesday night suppers continue, and also the grief ministry will begin on January the 24th. A lot to be praying for in the life of our church. Thank you for your participation and continued work for the as the people of God in our community. May we pray as we go forth. Lord, thank you. Thank you for today. Thank you for the word that has been spoken. Thank you, God, as that bears reality in our lives, as you've called us. And we pray, Lord, that you would call us all forth to stand upon you, the solid rock, as we go forth to serve you and each other. In Jesus' name, amen.